associate pastor for the English ministry. So I wanted to let you guys know that I am available on Wednesdays in person at the church. If you needed to meet for anything, or you'd like to talk about anything, or have some basic counseling, or require prayer for anything, I will be here on Wednesdays. And also, virtually, anytime to connect with you. Or I am also available if you'd like to meet up in person at a Tim Hortons or something like that, just to connect. My hope is to try to connect with more of you, get to know some of you a little bit better, and also just see how I can support you and encourage you in your journey and also as your pastor. But what I wanted to share is some new things that will be happening this year, or just some new things and some things that also took place last year. But the first Sunday of the month, starting in February, I don't know if you guys remember Lewis and Shema when they came here to help out with Lydia. They did worship together. But we're going to try to have that again, like the live worship on the first Sunday of every month, starting in February. If you would like to serve, or if you would like to help out with the worship, not just on the first Sunday, but really any Sunday, I believe this is a year where, you know, I've gone through so much teaching last year, but this is a year maybe where you feel you might want to step up, you might want to serve God in a different way. Maybe this is an opportunity for you. So if you want to help out with worship, you can let Maureen or Andrew or myself know. I also wanted to kind of just drop this in your guys' ear from now, but I will share more in the coming weeks. But there will be a youth March break retreat for any of the youth that are here and any of your friends, really. You can invite your friends or family. But we will have a March break retreat for, I'm not sure how long, maybe 5 days, maybe 4 days. It'll be a good amount of time. But we'll try to get away, get closer to God, also just spend some time in fellowship, getting to know each other more as well. So if you are in junior high or high school, maybe also I'll open it up to grade six, but the youth retreat will be happening during the March break. We will also be having our Honduras mission trip. This is something exciting for me. It will be my first time going to Honduras. But if you would like to go on the mission trip, that is something to begin to think about. And I believe that's going to be taking place closer towards the end of July, or sorry, towards the end of June into the beginning of July. We have the summer VBS camp that's going to be happening in the summer as well. And my hope is to be able to reach out to some of the schools and the families in the area to have this VBS, to let them know. That's part of our faithfulness as a church, is to reach out to the community that is around us. I came here this week on Friday. I saw all the elementary kids outside playing, and I thought, wow, what a great opportunity for us to reach out to them in hopes that they could come and hear the gospel about Jesus Christ. And so that is something that will be taking place in the summer as well. And we also have the local mission trip here with Toronto City Mission that will be happening in a Scarborough community where we will be running the week-long day camp. Okay? So we will share some specific dates in the coming weeks, but just so you have that information, those are some things that will be taking place this year. And I'm just excited to see what God will do, how he will use us to continue to be faithful with his mission and just growing in him and growing with one another. Okay, so Jamaica missions. It was definitely warmer there than it is right now in the basement. It was about 30 degrees there. I just wanted to show you guys just a little bit of a view from where I was. The place is called Cave Mountain, so it is literally on a mountain. And this was the view at sunset, where you could see the water, you could see the beautiful scenery. So actually, before the hurricane, you wouldn't be able to see this view before. It was all trees and it was all covered. But now, since the hurricane, you are able to see a lot of the ocean, a lot of the water. But this was a beautiful view. It's very peaceful. It's very quiet. It's a great opportunity to connect with God, just be still and think about life, think about priorities, all those different things. While we were there, we were able to do a few things, praise God. That is the local pastor at the church in Cave Mountain. Her name is Pastor Faye, and she is a hardworking individual, and she loves God. We went to a farm while we were there to try to collect some food for our dinner. I haven't done a lot of farm work, but it's very labor intensive. But this is, we were able to have a community dinner. A lot of people in the community lost their homes. A lot of the homes got damaged from the hurricane. So as a church, we wanted to just bless them. And so we were able to prepare food for about 100 people in the community. Something called curry goat, fried chicken, rice and peas, and some vegetables. We were able to prepare some food to hand it out. We also did a two-day VBS for the kids in the community. And that's their craft that they were able to do. A lot of the local youth helped out with the VBS. We got the opportunity to spend a lot of time with the local youth there that we've built relationships with over the years. And overall, it was a great trip. A lot got accomplished. Praise God. This is like what most of the homes look like now since the hurricane. Just completely damaged. This home on the left, it was built up. That's the floor now. So they've lost all their walls, all their windows, all their doors. This was another home, just completely destroyed. And, you know, it was very sad to see, very devastating to see. But at the same time, while we were there, people in the church are still in pretty good spirits. Like, they're thankful for life. They're thankful that they're still alive. And they're trusting God to rebuild not only their physical homes, but just trying to be in tune with what God is teaching them in the midst of this season after the hurricane. And I was able to share just a few messages of encouragement with them. One was just, you know, sometimes these disasters, it's an opportunity for us to really get right with God and to refocus our lives and to see what God is doing. So there was that loving warning, but at the same time, there was a loving encouragement not to worry. And as Jesus says, we're not to worry about anything. That our Heavenly Father cares about us, He takes care of us, and He will provide for all of the things that we need. So try to encourage the community and the church with those messages as well. And then lastly, I just wanted to share about these two young men. This was kind of a personal highlight for me during this mission trip. To the left is Matthew. Some of you might have met him. He came here before for some of the youth fellowships. But he was able to lead and teach during one of the VBS sessions. And then this other young man to the right, his name is Marco. And he also led and taught during one of the VBS sessions. Marco is a man, a young man. He's 19 years old, but he's been discipled over the last 3 or 4 years. And now he is stepping up to teach others. He is stepping up to share the word of God in his community, have Bible studies in his community, and tell others about Jesus Christ. And that is genuine fruit of someone who has been genuinely transformed by the gospel. And it was really cool to see his passion and his love for God and his ability to teach the gift that God, or use the gift that God has given him. So there he's doing an analogy. He also prepared a little skit for the kids to do there. And yeah, that was a really good time. And so overall, the trip was a very good trip. But now I'm looking forward to the next one. If that's Honduras or maybe something else, I don't know. But I encourage you guys, mission trips are always a good opportunity to serve God and serve others. But it doesn't end with a mission trip. Our mission is every day as Christians. And we should look for the missional opportunities every day to serve God and to serve others. Okay, so that's Jamaica Mission. Before we get into just what I want to share today, and it's a simple message actually that I've prepared for today, let's just pray. Okay, so join me in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a new year, and there is a new opportunity for us as a church to grow even deeper in our relationship with you, God, in our relationship with one another, and in our commitment to your mission. This is why we exist as a church. And as we talk about vision and as we talk about values, I ask, Father, that you would help us to understand what your will is and what you want us to be committed to as a church. As Christians, I pray that you would open our eyes, not just our physical eyes to see, but open the eyes of our understanding to understand, God, what your will is and how you want us to live. I pray that you would help me to speak your truth in love, and I pray that you would help me to bless your church today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, it is a new year, and it's always good to start a new year with vision and how we want to enter 2026. Okay, 2025 is gone. Whether it was a good year for you or a bad year for you, it's an opportunity, yes, to reflect, but that year has passed. And now we are in a new year, in 2026. And I wanted to start this new year by talking about our vision. Okay, and so this is a vision. I've shared it with Pastor John. I've also talked about it briefly with the other leaders. And I believe this is the direction that God wants us to go as a church. So I'm just going to read it for us. It says, through the empowerment of Holy Spirit, we strive to be the church God desires as the day of Christ's return approaches. We recognize that many of the signs Jesus talked about in the Bible, which will be taking place before he returns, is becoming more evident in the world. With this in mind, we want to live as authentic Christ followers and build an eternal legacy that will last forever. We desire to know God personally and grow in our faith through studying the Bible. We want to find ways to serve the church faithfully by using our gifts. We strive to grow deeper in community and support one another as we journey. We seek to give sacrificially as we are faithful in sharing God's word and discipling others. We know that this is not something we can achieve on our own, but we need to be empowered and led by Holy Spirit in every area of our lives to fulfill our God-given purpose and mission. Okay, so those are some scripture references there. But this is our vision. And I hope that for each of us that is a part of MCLCC, that we would take this vision to heart. Because what the standard is not my standard. But it's what I believe God's standard is for us as Christians and as the church. It is what God desires. It's what he wants in us as a church. But we all have the choice of whether we will pursue it and commit to it, or we will be casual with it and not be as committed. But we, through the empowerment of Holy Spirit, it starts there. Because everything we do as Christians, it needs to be done through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That we cannot merely just do things in our own flesh or do things on our own. If we do, the Bible actually calls that dead works, that if we're not connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, and we start to do things just in our own ability or in our own effort, it's not going to produce much fruit. So we need God. We need His Spirit. We need to be empowered by Him. So we need to pray for that. We need to ask for that. We need to ask God to help us to do the things He wants us to do. We want to be the church that God desires because we know that Jesus is coming back soon. This is what the Bible warns us about. This is what Jesus warns us about. Okay, I don't know, again, if you see things happening in the world this week, but I just came back from a country who's never experienced a natural disaster or a hurricane ever in their history to the degree of what they've experienced. There is rumors of war between Iran and America. Russia and Ukraine continue their war. Even Taiwan, even China, there are continued rumors of war that is happening there. And what does Jesus say? He says, when we hear about these rumors of wars, when we see these natural disasters happening, not just in Jamaica, but all over the world, He tells us, it's a sign that He is coming back soon. He is coming back to create a new earth, a new heaven, and He is coming back to judge the world. He tells us that, and we need to pay attention. So as we know that Jesus is going to return any day, any moment, any time, well, I hope that causes us to live in a way as Christians where we take our faith seriously. We take our relationship with God seriously. And we take what God desires for us as a church seriously. We take our commitment to the mission seriously. And so you may think this year, well, you know what? I've never been on a mission trip, or I've never committed to the mission. Well, maybe this is the year. Will you take that step of faith? You take that step out of what you think is comfortable, and you take that step. Or you say, maybe this is the year where, you know, not in a religious sense, but in a sense of I want to get closer to God. This is where I'm going to come. This is the year I'm going to commit to study the Bible, to really know God and know His Word, and know what He wants from me as a Christian. Or maybe this is the year where I'm going to grow deeper in my relationship with some of my brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, everything else around us, the messaging, it all depends on your focus. You can be focused on school, you can be focused on work, you can be focused on raising a family, all of these different things, not bad things. But if your focus is entirely on those things, then we will miss the focus of what it means to be the church that God desires for us to be. So we need vision, and we need to have vision. We need to have focus as a church. And this is what God desires from us. So with that being said, I wanted to talk about our first value as a church, which is one that we all know. It's love. Okay, so I'm just going to read this out. And I pray that Holy Spirit helps us to understand it. In Matthew 22:37, the scripture reading that Aaron just read, Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. More than anything, we want to be people who are deeply in love with God and are spending time in His presence regularly through reading, studying, and meditating on the Word of God and prayer. We believe that a church cannot be fully successful or healthy if the people are not personally meeting with God and enjoying His presence consistently. We also believe that when we draw closer to God, our love for Him, His Word, one another, the lost, and Jesus' mission naturally grows and we become more like Jesus. Jesus also said that all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. The body of believers should be closer to us than our own families. It is our priority to first know God and be spending time alone with Him regularly. But we want to also genuinely know and love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the way we are commanded to in the Bible. We want to be a community that shares openly and regularly about our lives, struggles, sins, and joys. A community that shares our possessions, speaks the truth in love, corrects in love, forgives, encourages, cares for, and supports one another, builds up and offers accountability. Through prayer, sacrifice, and the empowering of Holy Spirit, it is also our desire that we would be able to exhibit the supernatural love and unity that Jesus prayed for in John 17 with every member of the body. In a true family, no one should be left out or feel alone or isolated. Every person's need should be cared for, and the family takes it upon itself to care for its members. This is the kind of love that points people to Jesus. Okay, I know that was a lot. But you might think initially, this is what it means to be a church? I thought what it means to be a church was, you know, come on Sunday, worship, sing a few songs, listen to a message, fellowship a little bit, and then go back home. If any of us have ever thought that that's what it means to be the church, then we've just simply been deceived. Or we've never actually read our own Bible to know what it means to be the church. But this is what it means to be the church. The scripture is full of the one another's, and we are called first and foremost to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. What does that look like to you? To love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Does that mean just simply come to church sometimes? Is that what it means to love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength? Does loving God with all our soul, all our strength mean that we just focus on what we want in this life? We pursue the things that we want. And for most of us, most Asian households, I can say that because my wife is Asian, the primary pursuit of what you want to focus on is get a good education, make sure you get a good job, make enough money so that you are secure in this life, in this world, and you build your life here on this earth. Maybe raise a good family, have a few kids, have a nice house in a reasonably safe community, not like in Scarborough where I come from, but a reasonably safe community, and make sure you have enough RRSPs for when you retire. Is that what it means to love God with all our heart, all our strength, all our mind, all our soul? I will submit to you, according to the Bible, no, it's not. But that's where we invest most of our time, most of our energy, and most of our effort, is building our life here on this earth. And I can almost 100% guarantee that has been the messaging for you, growing up or being a part of an Asian household. That is the focus in life. Those are the goals. Those are the things that you are called to and meant to be pursuing. And so when you then hear the teachings of Jesus Christ, and Jesus says, no, those are not the things that you are supposed to be mainly focusing on, it creates something in our life. And what it creates is something called tension. It creates a crisis. Because then we each have a choice. Follow what Christ says, or follow what I've grown up to know. What I've grown up to believe in. Which has been all the messaging about around me, all the upbringing, everything I've been taught has been to get a good education, get a good job, make money, build your life here on this earth. Yet Jesus says the complete opposite. That if you focus solely on those things, we are not worthy to be called his disciple. We are not worthy to be called his follower. So that creates a tension in my life and in your life. That if you're focused on building your life here on this earth, and Christ says don't do that, do something completely opposite, well then we need to wrestle with that. Because that's going to create a serious crisis in your life. Where you have to then make a choice. Love God, or love yourself. Love this world, or love God. And I will submit to you, most of the things in your life, and I hope the young people are listening, as you grow up, most of the choices in your life are not necessarily between things of God and things that are evil. Okay, you can go along the street and maybe your parents have raised you to be good moral people. Don't do drugs. Don't smoke weed. Don't drink too much alcohol. Those are, yes, all bad things. Those are all evil things. And then on the flip side, they said, okay, be a good person. Make sure you go to church. Make sure you do certain things well. Okay, most of your choices are not going to be between what's good and what's outright bad. Or things that are outright evil and things that are from God. But most of your choices are going to be between what is from God and what is good. I'm going to say that again. Most of the choices in your life are going to be things that appear to be good versus things that are actually about God. Because having an education, raising a family, having a good job, those are not bad things. They're good things. They're just not meant to be our primary focus. They're not the main God things. And anyone could tell you, well, yes, God wants you to do all of those things and pursue building a life on this earth. And if anybody tells you that, they're simply just lying to you. Because what God wants you to do, first and foremost, is to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. So what does that look like for you? Have you loved him completely in 2025? Will you love him completely in 2026? Because what that looks like is a desperation for his presence. That when you go throughout your week, if you have little to no desire to spend time with God or be with God or be in his presence, then maybe your commitment to Christ was under wrong motivation. Maybe there were some wrong motives there. Maybe you didn't fully understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But to love God with all our heart means, first and foremost, there is a desire in us to know him personally, to spend time with him. And we are desperate for his presence, knowing that we can do nothing without him. If we are to grow as a church, if we are to be successful as a church, if we are to do anything of substance as a church, it will start here, with our love for God. And I encourage you, I challenge you, to make that a priority in 2026. Make it a priority to spend time with God. Make it a priority to commit to knowing the Bible, knowing his word. And don't do it for any other reason other than because of your love for God. Don't do it because you want to front in front of your parents. Don't do it because you want to maybe look good in front of the pastor or the church. Don't do it. If you don't have a desire to do it, don't do it. And if you don't have a desire to do it, ask God for the desire to do it. But if you do have a desire, and this has been my prayer for you guys, that you would have a genuine desire to know God, to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength in 2026. Because it is that serious. Your faith and your growth in your faith is more important than your education. It's more important than the job you will have. It's more important than the life you will build here on this earth. Your faith in Christ and your foundation in Christ is more important than anything. But I can't convince you of that. You have to believe that. And you have to take steps to put that into action. So, this is the greatest commandment that Jesus says. And he says, every other commandment in the Bible, in the entire Bible, is summed up by these two commands. Love God, love one another. Everything else comes down to that. If we genuinely love God, and if we genuinely love others. And it's not something that we can do on our own. We need God. We need his Spirit. We need him to help us. So if we start this year in any way, it would be to pray and ask God to fill us with this love, to fill us with that desire, to fill us with the same heart that he has. Okay, last thing I will share is, you know, I'm part of a Bible study on Friday nights, and we just started a study on the Father's heart. The Father's love for us. You know, most of us, we misunderstand God's love for us. Because what we do is we have our own personal experiences with our earthly fathers. And many of our experiences with our earthly fathers are negative. Either some of our earthly fathers have been absent in our life, many of our earthly fathers have disappointed us. We've been raised in a certain way. That's not all of us. There are some of us who have really great
earthly fathers who have loved us and cared for us. And that is a blessing. But most young people that I talk with and minister to have had very destructive relationships with their earthly fathers. And a lot of times we take our experiences with our earthly fathers and we translate that into our experience with Father God. And I just believe that God wants to remind us that despite our earthly experiences with our fathers, for some of us, God is a good father. He is a faithful father. He is a loving father. And he wants to know us as his children. He wants to know you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to build a relationship with you. And if you understand that type of love from the Father, then you understand that your Heavenly Father cares very much about you. And he wants to spend time with you more than anything. He wants to know you personally. He wants to know you intimately. And that might not look like what your earthly relationship with your father is like. But your relationship with your Heavenly Father can be so much different. And again, if you have a great relationship with your earthly father, which I do, that is a blessing. But if you don't, then know that your Heavenly Father, he knows your heart, he sees your struggles, he knows your life, and he wants to know you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to build a relationship with you. And I hope that will mean something to us. That the God of all creation, he wants to know us as his children. And he wants to spend time with us. That is the Father's heart. And as we grow in this relationship with God, he begins to put new desires in us. He begins to change and transform our heart so that we live in a way that pleases him. So this is where we will start. Love. This is our value as a church or as the English ministry, and I think it's pretty in line with the vision and the value of the entire church. But love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and all our mind. What does that look like in 2026 for us? And how can we begin to pursue that? I'm excited for this year. I really am. And if we are able to journey and live through this entire year, then I hope that we will be able to look back and see that more than anything, we made a decision to love God with everything, to give him everything, and to pursue him with everything. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray right now for us as your children. And God, I just pray that you would do something supernatural in each of our hearts. That for any of us right now, who we don't have that desire to know you, God. We don't have that desire to spend time with you for whatever reason. I pray, God, that you would just completely transform those hearts. That you would fill us with an understanding of who you are. Place in us a reverent fear of you, God, and help us to know that without a shadow of a doubt that you love us and you want to know us personally. God, if there are some of us here who we know that you love us, God, then I just pray, God, that you would help us to commit to what it looks like to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength.
God, if we are distracted by the things of this world, if we are simply just pursuing the things of this world, I pray that you would convict our hearts. To know, God, that that is not ultimately everything that you desire for us as your children. But you want us to know you. You want us to live in a way where it's not all about us, but it's all about you, God. And I pray that you would give us a vision and an understanding of what that looks like. God, I pray for the young people here. I just pray, God, that you would give them a hunger and a passion and a desire for you, God. That, Father, despite, Father, all the pressures or the things that they may be facing, I just pray, God, that you would place in them a genuine desire and hunger for you, God. That they would not become distracted by the things of this world. They would not become distracted by the games or the social media or all the things, God, that Satan uses to distract us. But God, we would just honestly hunger for your word, that your word would not be something boring to us, but it would be something that excites us. It would be something that we're passionate about. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just cause any hard hearts to come alive, and that your word would come alive in each and every single one of us. God, may we see the fruit, may we see the passion, may we see the hunger, may we see the desire of wanting to love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And God, I pray that you are honored throughout this year. And so we thank you for your word, we thank you for your truth. And I pray that you would help us to live as the people you have called us to be. In your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Should I turn this off?